I believe that God is at work renovating within our lives. I believe that God is at work changing us, resurrecting us, bringing us to something new inside of our lives. Yeah, yeah, this is what I believe. It was 2,500 years ago, almost, that this man named Nehemiah asked the Persian king if he could return to Jerusalem to be appointed as governor. He was Jewish. He had been raised in the Persian Empire, as were his parents and his grandparents, but he always knew of this city that was so precious to him called Jerusalem. The king said yes, and he went back to Jerusalem to discover that it was a mess. Those walls had been crumbled 150 years earlier, had not been rebuilt. And so he rode around the city, and then he presented an idea, and he organized the tribes, and the work crews began, and all together they began raising the entire city's walls at once in the face of huge criticism, in the threat of attack. Over the space of 52 days, they raised those walls. They brought in trees from the kingdom next door, and they recreated those gates that had been burned 150 years earlier. And the day came when those huge gates were hung on new hinges, and for the very first time, those gates swung closed and swung open. What do you do when you finish a building project? You celebrate. And so they celebrated. They invited the Jewish people from all around the area to come into Jerusalem and be welcomed by a whole new economic system. They invited, and Jerusalem welcomed them into a whole different political system. They invited, and they were welcomed into worship. This what was absolutely crucial. And now the Jewish people had a vibrancy and a center to their faith that they had not had for a long time. The temple had been repaired 90 years earlier. But the temple is nothing without the city that surrounds it. Now came that vibrancy. God was at work renovating that city. It wasn't just human hands. It was a God-sized vision. And the walls came up. How incredible, how amazing to be able to say this is what God had in store for that city and for that people. Carrie was a good friend of mine. And the first time that Carrie met me, I did not meet her. It was at a funeral. It was at Norm Iverson's funeral. Norm and Winnie Iverson had lived next door to Carrie for years and years and years, and they were such good friends. There was 40, 50 years between them. But they were such great friends. And so, as they were together, Norm began to deteriorate, and Norm died. And Carrie came to his funeral. Now, I don't know what there was about that day. I don't know what there was in the congregation. I don't know what there was inside of that church. But for some reason, Carrie felt invited into that church on that day. And Carrie felt welcomed in a way that she had not felt welcomed in a church in a long, long time. Now, I don't know when it was. On that day, she met me, and she knew who I was, but there were so many people at Norm's funeral, I didn't meet her. I didn't have any memory of her at all. But she decided she was going to come back on a Sunday. Now, I don't know if it was 1 month or 2 months or 3 months later. It was a significant number of weeks. And finally, Carrie said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And she showed up. It just so happened that it was on the first Sunday of the month, and it was communion. Something was inviting her back into God's presence. Something was welcoming her into God's presence on that day. And then it came time for communion. This is the body broken for you. This is the blood shed for you. This is the body given for you. This is the life poured out for you. And as I was speaking the words that they're just routine, I don't know how many hundreds of times I've spoken them, but it was the very first time that Carrie had ever heard them. Those words that we speak in our Wesleyan tradition that says, the communion which we share today is an open communion, and this means that it does not matter who you are or who you are not, what you have done or what you have not done. It does not matter what church you do or do not belong to. If you believe in our Lord Jesus Christ and or wish to be in relationship with Christ, you are welcomed at this table. Carrie, in her lifetime, had never heard those words. She had been raised in a very, very strict Protestant conservative denomination that wasn't based on grace. It was based on rules. And in her adult life, she had never been in a congregation that spoke those particular words. She was invited to communion that day. She was welcomed at communion. But what I want you to know is that it wasn't by me. Oh, I was the one that spoke the words, and I was the one that had the bread in my hands, but it was not me who invited and welcomed her. It was the power of God moving in her life on that day. Lo and behold, she came back the next week, and the week after that, and the week after that. And it was not long before Carrie started stepping into leadership inside of that congregation. She didn't begin with formal leadership. She wasn't a part of any committees. She wasn't part of any council. She started inviting and welcoming herself. She who had been invited, she who had been welcomed, realized that she was being resurrected by God in a whole new way, that there was a renovation project that was going on in her life, and that it was the hand of God that was inviting her. It was the hand of God that was welcoming her into that time, into that space. And it was amazing to see her respond. And Lazarus died. In his dying process, in his sickness, Lazarus invited Mary and Martha, his sisters, into that journey with him, a journey that would move from sickness and pain and illness to death. Mary and Martha turned right around and they invited Jesus. And when he came, they welcomed him into their home and into their town with tears. On a journey that had been for them nothing but pain and nothing but death. And Jesus turned around and invited Lazarus, a man whom they thought was permanently dead. And Jesus said, not yet. And Jesus invited Lazarus into a journey of life and resurrection. This story is one of the foundational stories of who we are in our Christian walk. To be able to say that this Jesus that we worship was a conduit for the very power of God, the living power of God, and that living power of God is more powerful than anything that is going on in Lazarus' life, in Mary's life, in Martha's life, and guess what? In your life. This power of God is more powerful than even death itself. This is what we claim. This is what we remember. We are invited into this journey, a journey in which we saw the walls of Jerusalem raised, a journey where we see people next to us in our own families, in our own lives, in our own families, people who are renovated and raised all the time. God is at work right now inside of our lives, renovating, resurrecting, changing. Why are we here as a church? This church exists so that we can make new disciples of Jesus Christ, not just for discipleship in itself, but rather for the transformation of the world in which we live. We are being resurrected right now. We are being renovated right now. Welcomed into God's presence and invited into a world that desperately needs God's healing hand. You are those hands. You are God's feet. We create new disciples. We transform the world in which we live. When we know God, when we love God, when we serve others, this is who we are. Now, we'll see. Brenda, could I borrow your baby? I got to tell you, I've been waiting for weeks to be able to do this. She's sound asleep, of course. This is the power of a good preacher. I can. Well, hold on just a second. I'll hand her back to you here. So, all right, my friends. If you have not met her yet, I would like to introduce to you my granddaughter, Marin. She's 7 weeks old today, right? Am I right? Yeah. Oh, my heart melts every time. This little girl taught me something inside of this week that really, really helped me. Last Thursday, this has been another one of those weeks that was a hard ride. There's been a lot of stuff going on. And this little girl, here's what she does. When it's time for her to sleep, she fights it every step of the way. When she does go to sleep, she will oftentimes sleep long and hard. But when she wakes up, this little kid is ready to eat. And when she does this, it's almost, she does it in a panic mode. And she's just frantic at times to say, give me food now. She is so frantic that she can't figure out how to eat. Have you seen this? Moms, you've seen this. And I realized last Thursday that was a great example of me. That there were some things I was just really upset about, I was uptight about, I was flailing, I was frantic in my own way. And what I realized was that when Marin simply calms herself, when Marin is quiet, that she has the ability to eat. When Scott takes the time to quiet himself, to be still, to be present inside of my day, even on a frantic day, that then I can listen for the voice of God. This is an amazing thing, to be able to say that God invites us and welcomes us, not into times of franticness, not into times when we flail about in life, but God invites us and welcomes us into times of quietness to say, be still, shh. Be still, and know that I am God. This is what we're inviting you into today. As we come to the altar to share communion, we are inviting you, God is inviting you, into God's living presence with a living power that is stronger than anything that is going on in your life. It is greater than illness. It is greater than financial disaster. It is greater than relationships that are disasters. It is greater than your worries and everything that's going on. Be still and know that God is God, and that God is working a great work within you, renovating and resurrecting you out of your own death. Be still and know that God is God. Okay.